The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
When Gooch gets back out into the pocket, like, I remember trying to practice this for about 6 months after I was nearly dislocated. He does it two or three times in the first half. It's sensational.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.
You're welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. So every single game that the British and Irish Lions play over the next couple of months will be live here on Off the Ball. Starting this Saturday, we have full commentary of the match against Japan. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff, but our build-up starts from two. We'll have Andy Dunn alongside Keith Wood for the build-up, Andy with Neil Tracy on commentary, and we'll have all the post-match reaction on our social channels as well. We have the likes of Devin Toner, Niamh Briggs, Jack Carty, Sean Cronin will all be on co-commentary for the warm-up matches over the next few weeks. And then Brian O'Driscoll and Alan Quinlan will be in the commentary box for the three test matches at the end of July and the start of August. Seven Irish players on the tour, and all seven of them will start against Japan at the weekend. Another change for the Lions today. Xander Fagerson ruled out through injury, so Tyke Furlong comes into that front row alongside Rory Sutherland and Ken Owens. Ian Henderson in the second row with Alan Wynne-Jones. Tadhg Byrne and Jack Conan will make their first Lions appearances in the back row with Justin Tupperick, and then Conor Murray at scrum half with Dan Biggar at out half. The wingers are Duhan van der Merwe and Josh Adams. The one-time all-Connacht centre partnership of Robbie Henshaw and Bundy Aki and Liam Williams at full back. To look ahead to this opening match of the tour, I'm delighted to be joined by the former Ireland international, Fiona Hayes. How are you keeping, Fiona?
Hi Nathan, how are you? Delighted to be here.
So we're almost there. The build-up to a Lions tour pretty much starts once the last one finishes as to who's going to be in, who's not. What's your first Lions memory? Was it something you used to look forward to when you were a kid?
Absolutely, yeah. I remember you'd be waiting, you know, for the announcement to be made, and obviously supporting all the Irish lads hoping to get there. But it's just so exciting. I can imagine, like, the wait, and when you see the videos, we're lucky now with social media nowadays. When you see the videos of them all with their teammates, their club teammates, and it's been announced, it's just amazing. Such a buzz.
I think the big story was that Liam Williams, who had the hurl in his hand and looked like he could be lining out in the Munster Championship. Jeez, that is some natural talent right there.
Absolutely, I'd say he'd give a couple of lads a go for their money on that tour. I would imagine Conor Murray put that hurl in his hand anyway.
It is only the first game, and a lot of the English players have arrived in late, so we don't have anything to give out about when it comes to the Irish players not getting a chance, because every one of them gets a start this Saturday against Japan at 3 o'clock. More important for some than others. For somebody like Jack Conan, who was a bit of a bolter for a lot of people in getting into the squad, he has the jersey and he looks like a player who needs to make a big impression. As was just said to me, unseen work really won't do for Jack Conan in these first few weeks. He needs to be a standout performer if he's to really be in the mix come test selection.
Absolutely, I think it's definitely a bolter. I mean, a lot of people I know down this way were looking at Stander as kind of a shoe-in as that big number eight. Everyone knows Gatland loves that kind of big ball carrier at eight. So definitely, I think seeing him starting this really kind of is a statement. I know Gatland said today that he hopes to give all players a start at some stage before the three big test matches, so they'll all get a shot in a starting jersey to show their stuff. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Jack Conan, and I suppose he has Byrne beside him, you know, at six as well, so it's they're kind of used to playing with each other, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that back row in action.
Why do you think he went Conan above Stander?
I suppose a lot of people will argue that they find maybe Conan is that I suppose Conan has a bit more skill set up his sleeve, and a lot of people look at Stander as kind of a big ball carrier, likes to go through people, and at times can get marked out in games because they know exactly what he's at. But I think he's proven with Ireland, especially in the last year or so, that, you know, he has other stuff up his sleeve. But with Conan and Leinster, he's just an absolute workhorse. He's a great skill set. He's always looking to get offload away when he breaks through contact. So I think Gatland is probably just looking for that different kind of type of character there, and he has Byrne in the back row is a big ball carrier as well, so I would imagine it's just that skill set probably has given him the edge.
If the team was been named tomorrow and we were looking at potential Irish starters, Tadhg Furlong we would fully expect to be in there. It looks as though with the centres he selected, it's hard to see how Robbie Henshaw doesn't start. Conor Murray, with his return to form, has put himself in pole position to start at scrum half. Ty Byrne, the form he has shown this year and the way Gatland has been talking about him over the last few weeks, it really does not feel as though Ty Byrne is right in the mix to get a start in that back row.
Definitely. Gatlin has been heaping his praises, and we've seen him. You know, Gatlin is spoken a lot of the time about how he's going with players in form, and that's what he wants to see. And, you know, we've seen that with James Ryan. You know, everyone was talking about him for the last few years, but obviously Gatlin didn't want to pick him. He's looked in form players, and Henderson performed a little bit better, I think, in the last Six Nations, so he's there. But definitely Ty Byrne with Munster, with Ireland, he's really stood up. And a lot of people would have been questioning, was he a second row, was he a back row? But he's shown he can play both really successfully, so I think that's definitely got him in there. And I presume with their training in Jersey, they seem to be doing heavy stuff because we're losing players left, right and centre. But it seems that he's obviously showed that he's very, very well capable of playing that back row, and Gatlin's given him a chance in there.
Yeah, the training sessions over the last 10 days or so looked to have been pretty heavy. A couple of changes, so Hamish Watson ruled out, and then, as I said today, Xander Fagerson ruled out as well. Probably shows that they have been pushing it pretty hard in training, and makes it more difficult to predict what's going to happen on Saturday, because we have a Japan side that hasn't played since the World Cup, but we know can play some brilliant, exciting rugby, and if the Lions are leggy, could make life very difficult for them. But at the same time, this is a big opportunity for the players, that they need to somehow just power through that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They'll be looking at that Japanese team, I think, and would probably want to bring pressure immediately from the start. Most of those guys have been playing rugby up until recently, and I know some of the Japanese are obviously playing in their own league that's just finished out, but as a team, I think Ireland and England have obviously had the Six Nations, and I'm really excited as well to see that back row battle, because I mean Michael Leitch is an absolute class player at six and Mafi at eight, and I think we'll really see Conan and Burns worth when they go head to head against these two guys as well.
Yeah, which is exactly what they want, that they are given that challenge so Warren Gatland can take something from it. The two injuries that have happened so far aren't serious, thankfully, and you know they should be back in training next week, but we know how attritional Lions tours can be, and there'll no doubt be half a dozen players at least whose tours will come to a premature end and somebody else will get an opportunity. That fear of getting injured, you've built up to this your whole life, you've got in the squad, but now you've got to go through six warm-up games before you can get in that test selection. If you think back to being in a World Cup squad and the build-up and just wanting to get there in tip-top condition, how do you work that mentally? Because you got to go out there and impress. You can't be thinking about that when you go out onto the pitch, which isn't easy.
Yeah, it's actually a strange one. Myself, before my last World Cup in France, I actually got it. We had a game against Wales, a warm-up game, and we were heading off in the plane maybe a week later. And I remember I just got an ankle injury, and it kind of ruled me out. But everyone was like, oh, you're so lucky. You're definitely going on the plane now, because everyone else was obviously involved in this game. But I did not view it like that at all. I was absolutely fuming. It was my chance to get out there. So I think as players, you know, every game, you just want to get out there, you want to impress, and they're playing rugby 24/7, you know, so it's literally in their DNA. And although you might be in the back of your mind, I think we're going to see a real physical performance against the Japanese, and as well as that, when lads get a go against the Lions, the Sharks and the Bulls, they're going to put it all in the line, and we're really going to see some physical games. That's what it's all about.
And Warren Gatland would want those warm-up games to be as physical as possible. South Africa in a similar position to Japan, we haven't seen them since they won the World Cup, but as physical a team as we have ever seen. It will do the Lions no favours, actually, if they're able to throw the ball around at will in any of these matches, because that ain't what they're going to face in the test matches.
No, not at all. And you've seen probably in the last few days as well, the South Africans are up to their old tricks. I think a couple of journalists were questioning Alan Wynne-Jones and, you know, his physicality, and saying that it will be a walkover by the South Africans if your captain is like that. And he's just basically nearly a lazy old man is what they almost call him. So you can see that they're playing the mind games already, but he offers so much. And I think as all the lads are getting on that plane, they know exactly what it's going to be. It's probably going to be some of the most physical games they'll ever play, and the intensity is going to be absolutely through the roof. But that's what they're waiting for. That's what they're waiting for, that call to get, and the excitement will absolutely spill onto that pitch as well.
Is there a chance that the South Africans are right, that they will just walk all over this Lions team?
I actually don't think so. I think they we've seen a good enough performances by teams in the Six Nations just gone. You know, I know no one was consistently brilliant, but I'm quietly confident. I think the South Africans are extremely, extremely confident, and I suppose, you know, they've called back Snyman and a couple of the other guys, and a lot of the guys have been playing in the Premiership as well, different systems. So I'm not sure how they're going to gel in those first few games. I would question that. We've seen Faf over with Sale, and I suppose half of South Africa with Sale, realistically. But they're going back, and it's completely different style of rugby, different systems we're going into. And I would imagine that these lads are you know, they've been training together, they similar on this side of the world. I would say that I'd be a little bit quietly confident that it could be even a 3-0, you know.
Right. Wow.
You're getting a prediction in early. Statement. It's a big bold statement.
It is.
But I've watched the South Africans, and I've been watching the league. And I suppose if you look at the Benetton game as well, you know, a lot of people thought were laughing, you know, that they were going to get absolutely hammered off the pitch. But it didn't happen, you know. And I think sometimes after the World Cup, teams kind of have a bit of a lull, and after winning the World Cup, and it's a different ball game. So it is a big statement, but I definitely think the lads are going to go over there with confidence that they can do it.
Connacht fans will be looking on Saturday at Henshaw and Aki in the centre and thinking, geez, if we kept them together for the last 5 years, what we might have achieved. Aki was another bolter, and I'm wondering what you think his role in the tour will be. So we saw in 2017 that Warren Gatland started in the first test with the more traditional Warren ball with the big man in the centre, and went with Benteo and it didn't work, and then he brought Owen Farrell in. Do you think against the South Africans he's thinking again, well, I want Aki and Henshaw, I want those two giants of men in the centre for their physical presence? Or would you still expect, when it comes to test time, that Owen Farrell would start at 12?
No, I'm not too sure. I'm not sure who he's... I'm still not 100% sure who he's going to go with at 10. I know he might, and he has played Farrell in the centre. But I think one thing that did stand to, I suppose, Aki and Henshaw is the amount of, as you spoke about Connacht, is the amount of rugby they have played with one another, and they know each other inside out. And if you can get that with a centre pairingship on a line team, that they just come and they fit in together, it is definitely something he'd look at. And I suppose it's all going to depend on this Japanese game and see how they go. Henshaw definitely has been playing out of his skin. A lot of Irish people, I suppose, this year I've been talking to have questioned kind of, is Aki in form at times, you know? But obviously Warren has seen something. He likes those big, strong ball carriers, and that's kind of something where they're going to look to attack, I suppose.
The other difference from 5 years ago, or sorry, from 4 years ago, is that, like, Johnny Sexton isn't there, and there was a proper rivalry at the time, so we could move Owen Farrell and know that Johnny Sexton could step in.
Yeah.
Is there a greater risk with not playing Farrell at out half now, when it's Dan Bigger, who maybe isn't of that quality, and maybe I'm very harsh on Dan Bigger, but of the quality of Sexton was at, or Finn Russell, and the maverick that is Finn Russell, which just seems like, maybe as much as we'd love to see it in lots of ways, maybe is a risk too far?
Yeah, I would imagine he's going to go with Farrell. He knows he's tried and tested. Gatland's style doesn't really... I know he picked Finn Russell, but in general against the South African team, I could be wrong. I'm not sure how Finn Russell would fare up starting a game. I'd love to get him onto the pitch when the South Africans are tired and he can shake it up a little bit. People obviously think Johnny Sexton is a much better player than Bigger, but what I've been listening to people talking about is he's apparently training really, really well with the Lions at the minute, and Gatland is quite impressed with him.
Right, so there's a lot of decisions to be made and a lot to look forward to. So what are you expecting then on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm expecting the Lions to come out of the blocks. I'm gonna say that they're coming. It's going to be a very quick tempo game to start off with. Set piece is something that they'd obviously want to look at. I mean, years ago, I remember people talking about Japanese pack being small in general, but they're so technical. They've proved in World Cups and games that their scrum is absolutely solid. You know, they've put out a strong team, and they're quite skillful, and they're kicking and they'll try things. And I think what we'll expect is both teams to kind of come out going at it for the first 20 minutes. And I suppose once they can feel each other out, we'll see a bit more structure come into the game. So I would imagine there probably will be a bit of kicking as well involved.
All right, we like it, Fiona. Big, bold call to start us before the series even begins. A 3-0 win for the Lions. Fiona Hayes, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Very optimistic.
It certainly
is.
Have a good one. We have a lot to look forward to over the next few months. Reminder once again that we have full live commentary of all 9 matches from the upcoming British and Irish Lions tour of South Africa. Brian O'Driscoll and Alan Quinlan will be alongside Neil Tracy on commentary for the 3 test matches. We have Devin Toner, Neve Briggs, Jack Carty, Sean Cronin among the co-commentators for the warm-up games. And it all starts on Saturday against Japan when Andy Dunn will be with Neil for the 3 o'clock kickoff live here on News Talker coverage. Will be brought to you in association with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. And a reminder, tomorrow at 7 and all our social channels as well, Brian O'Driscoll is on the Classic Game Club looking back on that second test from 2009 against South Africa, which will be well worth listening to.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.